Hello and welcome to another Naxos podcast, this time with music by American composer Derek Bermell from his new album titled Migrations. For the next half hour or so, I have an interview with Derek along with some excerpts from this recording just to give you an idea of how excellent it is. But first, here's a bit more of the opening to his piece, Migration Series. Is the Great Migration? I'd heard the term, but I think especially listeners outside of the United States might not know what that is.
Well, the Great Migration was a very deliberate movement of African Americans coming from the South to the North of the United States. This was a movement born of the difficulties of living in the South and the hope for a better life up north. Primarily, people would join their families or relatives or friends who were already up north. So there were several train lines which went directly up, say, from Florida and Georgia, up the East Coast, from Mississippi, from Alabama, up through Chicago to Minneapolis to the north, you know, from Louisiana, from out west in Texas to California. So those were three of the main routes. And in the north, people took factory jobs. It was during the World Wars. And at the same time as being a uniquely American story, also very much a story that resonates with people whose parents were migrants. Immigrants, like my father was an immigrant, actually, who came from other places around the world, Asia, Europe, coming to the United States looking for a better life. But here we have a story of people within America looking for a better life in a different part of America. I felt that Lawrence's telling of the story resonated with this real universal story that's just retold all over the world. We see migration happening everywhere in the world, from Syria now, from Central America, and migration going to many different countries and people having to deal with this, an uprooting of their life. And so that's why I think that this theme is so fresh that it never goes away. And why Lawrence, in particular, his treatment of this is so moving and empathetic, but at the same time, distant enough to allow a viewer of these paintings to have their own experience.
Thank you.
Can you describe the paintings and what was your reaction when you first saw them?
I first saw the Migration Series when I was a young kid. It was being exhibited in New York, and my mom dragged me with her to see it. And I remember that it very much resonated with me, not just the story, but the colors, the vividness of these 60 paintings by Jacob Lawrence, which were almost like a mosaic. Together, they created a story, but separately, of course, they're beautiful paintings. They're quite small paintings, but separately, they also have the resonance. Each of them has an inscription which tells something about the painting, but the descriptions are fairly dry because he's just trying to give historical details about the painting, but not particularly send you in any direction. He wants you to have an experience with the painting as it is. Even when I was a little kid, that viewing this series really struck me. But then later on, I saw the catalog and I started to really study the catalog and look at the paintings and become much more interested in subsequent years. So I always had this interest in the Migration Series of Jacob Lawrence. But then when I got this commission from Wynton Marsalis and the American Composers Orchestra to write a piece that combined both forces, I thought of the Migration Series. As I started writing the piece, I thought to myself, oh, this, the form of this piece is a lot like the mosaic form of Jacob Lawrence's Migration Series.
I'm interested in how your knowledge of other languages, spoken languages, did that change the way you think about music at all?
I'm sure knowledge of spoken languages changed how I think about music because language is very tied to music in my mind. I think most cultures, music comes out of its language and vice versa. Most cultures, the language is tied to the music, is tied to the dance, is tied to the literature. It's really inseparable because these kinds of rhythms and tonalities, colors, they overlap. It's like the language is a kind of a Venn, you know, and the music, they create a kind of Venn diagram, which is the culture itself. So there are certain sounds in certain languages that you just don't find in other languages, and that dictates the way the music flows, the way the rhythm flows, and it's very integrally tied to the dance as well. So I just think that these aspects of culture all overlap so strongly. And in English, we have those too. Our language is very much tied to our music as well. What one might call folk music or the music that is indigenous to America. All these musics that originated in America are reflective of the language and the culture. They're so strongly tied. I went to Brazil was in 2003, and I spent several months in Salvador da Bahia, which is in the north of Brazil. And it's a very interesting part of Brazil because there's a lot of Afro-Brazilian influence. And so you have so many different cultures that kind of mix in this area. And So that was my first exposure to Brazil. The second time I went to Brazil, I went to Rio, and then I spent time learning bossa nova and samba. I continued learning more about samba. And I was studying this kind of shaker called the cachixi, a percussion instrument, which I learned many Brazilian rhythms on. And I learned the physicality as well as the particular rhythms. I was also learning physically how to make those rhythms, which you have to be very physical when you play this percussion instrument because it's all about movement of the arms. So, and consequently of the whole body. Therefore, you had to learn about dance and you had to learn the words to the songs too. So I learned Portuguese in Brazil. Then I married a Portuguese. So then I learned Portuguese from Portugal, which is quite different. And I got to know more about Portuguese music, which includes fado, very moving, kind of mournful and expressive music. And when I came across the poetry of Eugenio de Andrade, I was very struck by the melancholy quality of saudades, what they call in Portugal, or saudades in Brazil, which is a kind of longing. It's a word that you can't even describe in English because it's partway between longing and nostalgia. And that's really expressed in these poems, many of which refer to the sea, because of course both Portugal and Brazil have large sea cultures.
Lábios.
you know, music is very powerful. I think that it brings up the strongest and rawest emotions. Music is something that is beyond words. It gets to the heart of what emotion, what culture, what living is about in a deeper way even than words can. And so I do feel that it strikes at those deepest parts of us, even the parts that are uglier. What I do recognize is that music is very powerful, and it's why I care so much about what I write, and because I sense the power in music. I know that music has been very powerful for me, that it's kept me going at very difficult times in my own life, and I know that it's something that is with you even in the darkest and the lightest moments.
Talked about two of the three pieces. The third piece, actually, which is just orchestra. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Bartok is actually a good lead into that, because that piece is a tribute to Bartok. In fact, I read Bartok's letters, and they gave me an idea for a piece that would be a New York piece. I was born in New York, and so it's my hometown, and I still live there, but I wanted to write a piece that had something to do with New York, but I couldn't really find a way in. Then I started reading Bartok's letters home that he wrote. Bartok himself was an immigrant to the U.S. He came over during World War II when things got very difficult for him in Hungary. He came to New York, and at the time he was already sick with leukemia. He ended up living in Queens, and he wrote all these letters home from New York. He lived in Queens, lived in Upper Manhattan, and he was very homesick. But his descriptions of New York and his impressions of New York were really different than anything I had ever thought about New York. Of course, they were from the 1940s, but still, to see New York through the eyes of an immigrant was very enlightening for me. And it did several things for me. First of all, it shed light on my father's own experience as an immigrant in the 50s to New York. Also, it was a way of seeing New York through a prism. And somehow then that freed me up to write music that felt like it captured a different side of New York.
Thank you.
America's a very transitory place, and almost everybody's from somewhere else, really. And certainly at all points, unless you're Native American, you were a migrant. And now Native Americans probably feel kind of like migrants in their own land, immigrants in their own land. But certainly, I think it's something that if people think deeply enough, they can empathize with. Is the question of whether we're being asked to think deeply about it or whether we're being asked to think in a kind of shallow way about it and in a selfish way about it. And I think it just, you know, the question is how are we being engaged with as a population to think about what it means to give up everything and go somewhere new.
You have been listening to an interview with composer Derek Bermell and to some highlights from his new album, Migrations, with the Albany Symphony Orchestra, the Juilliard Jazz Orchestra, Luciana Souza on vocals, Ted Nash playing saxophones, and the composer himself playing solo clarinet, all conducted by David Allen Miller. Naxos catalog number 8.559871. That's all for this podcast. Thanks to Derek for taking the time to chat. I hope you can join me again next time. Until then, I'm Raymond Bechet. So long for now.